She Speaks Sport, the podcast for women fluent in sport. Today is a great day because I am joined by Megan McCall all the way out in Scotland. And I know that it's so exciting to be talking about what Scotland women's cricket team have just achieved this year. And actually not that long ago, it seems like a long time ago, but it was only a few weeks ago. And we're going to be talking about their qualification for their first ever ICC Women's World Cup. But Megan is a top order batter. Of course, she is an all-rounder, but top order batter for the Scotland's women cricket team, which is amazing. And she does coaching and, life coaching. And she's just an incredible human being that is truly writing her name in history along with the whole team. And we're really, really excited to be seeing them when they come in to play in the Women's World Cup. So but before we get into that, I must say, Megan, it is so great to have you with me today. Thank you so much for joining me. And I hope that you've had a wonderful week, that you're keeping warm because I know it's been raining, and that you're just doing great. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, I want to ask you before I ask you a bit about your journey in cricket, which I also want to know about. I want to know from you, how was the qualifiers? Of course, okay, we know, beating Ireland, which we're going to talk about. But before that game happened, before the final game, how was the feeling coming in to that qualifying tournament? How did you ladies feel? Did you feel there was a unity? There was that confidence? There was that thought of, we're here, we're going to do our best, and we're going to give everything. So how was the team feeling going into the qualifiers? How was everybody doing? Was there just like a good vibe as well?
Obviously, before the qualifiers, we had just been appointed a new kind of temporary head coach in Craig Wallace. And I think he brought a lot of change to the group. So I think he brought a big belief into the group just around our cricket. And I think, we all believed in ourselves, but we also believed in each other a lot more. And I think that just allowed us all to play our best type cricket. So I think that before the qualifiers, I think there was no real expectation on us. Like, I don't think Cricket Scotland expected us to do as well as we did. And I think we were going there like any other qualifiers we'd been to compete. But we knew that we were like the fifth ranked team going into that qualifier. So it was going to be a challenge. But I do think that before we went away, and even like the kind of competitions and series that we did leading up to the qualifiers, I think we had this like new belief in the group. And I think underneath all the kind of silence and hush about the qualifiers and about like, if we could qualify and stuff like that, I do think that people in the group believed it, and we all believed that we could do it, but nobody ever really said it in terms of leading up to the qualifiers, that the group was in a really good place, and that obviously the way it ended was like what we all wanted deep down. So yeah, I think it was really good leading up to the qualifiers.
I love that you say that, and also that you're giving us a bit of insight into the feeling in the group as well. And also, just like you say, that belief within the belief in yourselves. And I've heard a lot of individuals and athletes say, like, when sometimes there's no expectation on you, it's slightly a little bit easier because no one's got that intense expectation of you that you're going to qualify. You have to do this. You have to win. You have to do this. And then there's all that criticism that comes, when people have that expectation on you. And to have no expectation on you sometimes allows you to play your best games, to play your best cricket, and to really shine with the belief that you had within yourselves. And I also love that you say that each of you kind of knew that you could qualify as well and wanted that, even without saying it. And I watched it, and I watched some of the games, and there was such a great vibe in the team as well, just how you ladies were on the field, and just, of course, the excitement and the joy when things were going right. And did you feel that as well? Like, you know, when there isn't an expectation, it allows you to really sometimes thrive and to come out of yourselves and to say, we're going to show up as we want to show up and play the best cricket that we want to play. And we know what we want to achieve. We know what we can do. And did you feel that as a team, as a unit as well? We're just going to go out there and do our best.
Like, in the past, there's never really been any expectations for us to do well. You know, you've got the likes of Ireland, Bangladesh, Thailand, even Zimbabwe, who are at these competitions and are all like ranked above us. I think that nobody ever really expects us to go out and qualify. Kind of turned that as a group, and we were like, well, like, we know we can beat Ireland, we know we can beat Thailand, like, we know we can beat Zimbabwe. So I think we kind of turned it and thought, yeah, we're still the underdogs, so it kind of means that we can, that there's no expectation on us. But also, I think we put a little bit, you know, we were like, but we also, like, we can do this. So I think we put the expectation on ourselves a little bit as well, without putting the pressure on ourselves. But we still, like, went out there and was like, no, this is the first year that we're going to show up to these qualifiers. And, like, we had beat Ireland in the build-up. We had beat Thailand previously as well. So, like, I think it was just, like, I don't really know how to word it, but I do think there is a big difference this kind of qualifiers and compared to previous ones with the group.
I get what you're saying as well. And of course, now, you know, your names are written in the history books, which is really cool for me to think about that and to say, you know, you beat Ireland, it was by 8 wickets. You know, I mean, that was huge. And you also scored like a stunning, you know, T20 50. How did it feel for you to be out there hitting things coming on and getting that maiden 50? In this, did you really feel, what was going through your mind? That's what I want to know. Like, was it just about, you know, staying focused, staying calm, you know, doing what you do best and then just going for it? How did that feel? Because firstly, congratulations on that. That must have been really cool. And of course, it is such a huge feeling when you're contributing to where the team wants to be and what's happening and then qualifying. I mean, it was an incredible game, and I'm sure an incredible moment for the team as well and for yourself personally.
Yeah, thank you, personally. Obviously, yeah, it was not obviously the start of the tournament that I wanted. I went into the tournament and I was on the bench, so I wasn't like getting to go on the pitch and help the team in that aspect. But I think that even the points that I wasn't on the pitch with the rest of the team, I think, you know, it's all valuable, like, learnings, especially for myself. I think I've been somebody that's been kind of in and out of the starting 11 quite a bit in the past few years. And, you know, like, it's good. It means that it's competitive, you know, to get into that starting 11. And that's, like, as a country, and development wise, that's what we want. But obviously, when I got the opportunity to come in and play, after just like continuously training hard, whenever I got the opportunity to, I was obviously, you know, I was brought in, I was told that I was going to be opening, and I was like, okay, this is different, because never in my career did I think I would be opening the batting for Scotland. I'd always been told, oh, you'll be like, you know, middle order, like, you'll be about 5, like, that's usually where you'll bat. So I think to open was very different. But also, I was like so excited to get the opportunity, because I think that Craig has helped me a lot with my batting since he's been in the role, and it's really like just allowed me to have a bit more confidence in how I bat and know my game. So obviously the start, my first two games in the competition didn't go exactly as how I wanted. I obviously got, you know, very low scores. But I think for the Ireland game, You know, I think a lot of like people like outside probably thought, you know, and there was a bit of pressure on me to perform, being brought into the team, even when we were still winning. Didn't want to think about the pressure, and didn't I was like, that's not going to help me. It's not going to help me perform how I want to perform, but it's also not going to help me do what the team needs me to do.
Yeah.
So I think that when I went out there for that, I just approached it like any other game. Like I wanted to, even like it's international cricket, but my mindset when I bat in club cricket, regional cricket, whatever it is like I just want to go out there and I want to bat for as long as possible. Because you'd rather be out in the middle scoring runs than sitting on the side, like having been like, oh, I'm out now, and I could, like, I want to be out there still. So I think that I went out there and I just approached it like I did any other game. I knew my plans against the different types of bowlers. And it was obviously really useful to have Saskia and Horley like out there with me. She's obviously really like experienced with opening the bat and obviously playing for New South Wales and Australia. So I think, you know, she was really helpful as well. It almost felt like, you know, we were out there, like you weren't on your own when you're out there. Like batting can obviously feel really isolating sometimes. I think that me and Saskia, we kind of learned to use each other a lot more and to kind of just bounce ideas off each other. Like if I had something that came into my head and I was kind of doubting myself, like I could go to her and she'd be like, no, like just do it, like just back yourself. And I think that that's really what helped me in the Ireland game, that I just had something came into my head and I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I just backed myself, and like Saskia was there and she was backing me as well. So like, yeah, that's how it just like kind of ended up going how it did. I think that once I got my first four of the innings, I think off of Orla Prendergast, I think as soon as I whacked that ball like through the covers for four, I was like, right, okay, like this is it. Like that totally took the pressure off me, and I was like, okay, like now I can just go and I can just like just play my game. And I think that's like that's what I did. I didn't think about the bowlers. I didn't, you know, think about who they were. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to play how Megan McCall plays. But yeah, I'm just so happy to have done it.
Oh, that is so cool. It's like one of those highlight moments. I hope that you have like taken the pictures of you batting and like frame them and put them on the wall, because I tend to do that when there's like big moments in your life that you just will never ever forget. And it might not be that it's big moments outside, you know, but it's like a big moment for you that you would never forget. And you're like, that was what I did. That was what it meant for me. And like, I just so love what you were saying also about, you know, batting can sometimes be isolating as well. I don't think that people, you know, watching the game often realize that, and being able to bounce that ideas off Saskia. I mean, it's incredible that you had that. And of course, again, you know, when you hit that first four, and it, you know, people have watched Orla, and she is great at the game as well. And you know, even here in South Africa, obviously we had the T20 World Cup here last year, and Ireland were here, and you know, people got exposed to the team. That is now what's going to happen as well, you know, at the next Women's World Cup, and they're going to be exposed to Scotland. They're going to be exposed to you ladies taking it on. And I wanted to ask you, because like you said, you've been, you know, part of the starting 11 sometimes not, in and out of the team. What have been the challenges that have helped, you know, those are challenges, but what have been not only the challenges, but also how have you managed to kind of stay focused on, like you said, your game, what you need to do, and, you know, coming into the team and still continuing to work hard, continuing to be consistent in how you're showing up in your own game for yourself and getting into the team. And obviously, you probably, and I know that you do have goals for the future as well with regards to the team, but what has helped you stay focused? How have you overcome those challenges as well? Because sometimes I'm sure that it's a mental, game as well in our minds when we're going, you know, I'm in and out of the team. I know where I want to be. I know what I can do. I know what I can bring as well. I just got to keep working hard. Do you find that sometimes mentally you have to work on that as well and just keep on showing up in that way for yourself to achieve the things that you want to do?
Yeah, completely. I think that cricket is I think people underestimate how mental like cricket is as a game. I think that, you know, you can have all the skills in the world, you can have all the shots as a batter, all the variations as a bowler, but if you can't get over the kind of the mental barrier in cricket, then like it's so like challenging, and you see that in players. You see that some players just can never progress to the next level because they can't figure out, you know, in their head how to kind of get over that kind of barrier. So yeah, I think for me, yeah, I think it's like especially you know, playing for Scotland where, you know, we're like semi-professional, like we're not fully professional, like we are contracted for Cricket Scotland, but it's only like part-time. So, you know, we have to juggle, like a lot of us have to juggle work as well as like cricket, and you know, we also, but we still have to train and perform. Like our expectations are to be able to train and perform like fully professional athletes. So it is like that's obviously part of it, like that's part of the kind of mental challenge as well, is that like a lot of us, we play the game like because we love it, and we do everything that we do because we love it. You know, we don't do it like for the money like a lot of other cricketers can do. So it's hard, but I think for me personally, like I've definitely had like a really up and down start to my career. I think that like definitely being in and out of like starting 11s, like I've always kind of been picked in squads but been away on tours and not played, you know, played like one or two games and then not played. Like for me personally, I think what I've realized kind of as I've, I guess, experienced being around the squad a lot more, is that at the end of the day, I can only control myself. I can't control, you know, what the coaches decide to do with team selections. I can't control what other people do. I can't control what the opposition do, but like I can only control what I do. And I think that if I, you know, always push myself at training, to just like keep challenging myself and to be exposed to like tougher situations.
It does. It's interesting that you say that. Someone said that to me at the beginning of the week. Like it wasn't about sport, actually. It was about life. They said that, you know, things are not going the way they wanted to, but they are focusing on controlling what they can, and everything else is outside of your control. So, you know, you can't be so fixated and worried about what these other people are doing or that external circumstance. And I think that what you were saying to us as well relates so deeply to sport and then so deeply to life as well. And just going, you know, who am I? How am I going to show up here? And what can I control? I'm not in control of everything else. Like you said, I'm not in control of the opposition or you know, the selection. I'm not in control of these things, but I am in control of what I can do and how I'm going to be showing up. And I think that you're kind of coaching us a bit here today as well, outside of cricket, which I know is what you do, but it is a life lesson that we can take. And I think that people need to realize as well is that sport, and especially cricket, the game that we love, is a very mental. It's a mental game. And like you said, some players and some individuals don't get to the point that they want to be at because your mental capacity, your mental health, your mental truth, your reality, that can stand between you and where you want to go. And maybe you just can't handle it. And it's very important for us to realize that. And I would love to know from you, you know, as you look at, of course, the team has qualified for the Women's World Cup. Do you have a goal to be in that starting 11? I know that, like, I'm putting you on the spot here, but I'm sure that you're not afraid to say what you're thinking here. Would you love to be, of course, I mean, you're part of the journey to get, over the line, but are you working hard and have that goal to be in that starting 11 when the team finally takes to the matches at that World Cup?
Yeah, of course I am. That's like my I guess end goal, and just be able to, I guess, represent Scotland and kind of help the team, at like the next level. I think that in terms of like my season so far, I'm just trying to perform as much as I can with the cricket that I get given here in Scotland. I know we've obviously got a lot of cricket coming up, kind of like the back end of our season, so kind of like July, August, September. I think we have a lot more international kind of fixtures, so I think that those will be the games that I really try and, I just put my mark on the team and kind of like the spot that I want to have. And at the end of the day, I'm working to get into that the squad, so that goes to the World Cup, and then I guess from there it's just like that extra push to be like, okay, like I also want to be in that starting 11 as much as possible as well. But yeah, like as I said, like I think the experience of being at the World Cup is just like something that obviously none of us have got to experience before, so that in itself is like a goal. It's just to be there and just get, I want to put my stamp on the like on my spot in that starting 11. And I probably would be slightly like stupid to say that that's not my end goal, so.
That's super, super awesome. And so, I wish you all the best for doing that and for everything that you're going to be working towards and all the games that's going to be coming like at the back end of the season. And, just getting into the team and then being in that environment and looking around and obviously getting to interact with other players that, are going to be chatting with you. And it's going to be such a great thing, a great reality to be part of. So I wish you nothing but the best for that. And I want to ask you a final thing. I know that you've been an assistant coach for different junior girls teams and, in the emerging side as well. And I also know that, like you said, you in with playing cricket as women in Scotland, it's, you play cricket, but you also have to work. So it's not fully professional. You can't have this, full-time career in it right now in this moment. So do you think that this is going to change in the future and that, when you're looking at young girls that are going through development and that are going to be, the future stars of the game, do you think that now things can change? Do you have hope that, Cricket Scotland is going to create those changes and that there is going to be that thinking in the future of going, hey, girls can think about this as a possible career one day, and many other nations obviously have that and that development still has to happen. But do you think that that's something that you want to see change? Of course, I know you do, but that it can change and that these kind of things are starting to be planted as thoughts kind of in the minds of people.
Yeah, I think that when you look at like how far like women's cricket in Scotland has come, like it's come a long way from when like some of the older players in the team that I still play with, like Lorna Jack and like Breena Chatterjee, like I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying that that they're a bit older, but I think that they would tell you that like they used to play for Scotland and wear like old men's kits that were way too big for them, and like just like silly things like that, which like nowadays we would be like, there's absolutely no way that I'm wearing anyone's old kit, like, so like it's completely come a long way from where it was, but it's obviously still not where it needs to be, and it's not at the level that other countries have, with women's cricket and almost trying to be equal to the men as much as possible. So I think But even like when you look at the participation in Scotland, like it's definitely increased from what it was. We obviously have we now have two kind of women's leagues in Scotland. So we have like our Premier League, like which is club cricket, and then we have like a kind of Challenger League, which is a league below, which is for kind of like clubs that are, you know, trying to start off like a women's kind of team. So they play like 8-a-side cricket, I think, and then when you play Premier League cricket, that's obviously like 11 a side. So it's like the cricket's definitely getting there when you look at participation and even some of the young girls in the setup. Like when I coach for the under 15s girls that we have this season, I'm the assistant coach for that, and when I coach there and I see like the girls that are like, you know, they're like 12, 13, 14, 15, and I'm like, you know, some of them, I'm like, you know, you're amazing for like how young you are. And I think that that in itself is something that we've never had. And I think that, you know, when I was like, you know, I think I got into the Scotland setup when I was like 14. There's some girls in the team that represented Scotland, like the women's national team, when they were like 13. So like it's definitely come a long way in the sense of that, you know, you can play your age group of cricket for Scotland now. You don't have to get thrown in the deep end because the kind of competition for spaces is a lot higher now. But yeah, in terms of like, you know, wanting to see a fully professional kind of set up in Scotland, I think it's maybe still a few years away. But I think that the way that like the pathway looks in Cricket Scotland now for girls, and just like the way that we are performing as a team, I think that us as a national team, we just have to try and push as hard as possible to, you know, get what we deserve ultimately. And I think that you know, us qualifying for the World Cup is just something that, you know, it's like going in the right direction. It's like we're performing now. We're performing with, you know, the lack of resources that we're given. You know, I think people don't understand that as a team, like we rarely train together because we have a lot of girls that are based down in England. They play the regional cricket down there. So a lot of the girls, like they are fully professional, but they're fully professional for these regional teams down in England. So that's obviously a challenge because there's very little of us actually based in Scotland now. There's maybe only like four of the national players that are based in Scotland, and everybody else is kind of dotted about in England. So it, like we have our own challenges as a national squad, but I think like when we come together, you know, we gel and we get back to where we were. And I think that's all that we can do as a national team, and we just have to keep showing Cricket Scotland that, you know, that we deserve more. And you know, I think for these girls that are, you know, kind of like 13, 14, 15 that are in that pathway already, I think that they can look at it and think, you know, in Scotland, like when I reach the women's team, like, you know, hopefully there is a career for me in it. And ultimately that's what I'd love to be able to see as a player, but also like as a coach.
Absolutely. And I want to say, Megan, thank you so much on that note. I hope so as well. But I want to say thank you so much for being with me today. It's been such a joy, such a pleasure to have you here and to be chatting. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. And all the best for everything that you're going to be getting up to for the rest of the season. And also, of course, for your goals for the World Cup.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app like Apple, Google, Castbox, and Spotify. Subscribe and like to stay updated on all new episodes. Thanks for listening.